Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues, etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, this is a confusing one. I have very vague memories of being taught about the earliest written alphabets, and it didn't have anything to do, if I remember correctly, with Hebrew. It had to do with, I don't know, Syrophoenician or something like that, Ugaritic. I can't remember what it was. Some strange language somewhere over there in these ancient parts of the world, but not Hebrew. And yet, here is the headline, oldest alphabet identified as Hebrew. And the picture simply shows a reddish piece of rock with some scratches on it that have been identified as evidence that Hebrew is the first alphabet. Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us to talk about this alleged evidence of Hebrew as the oldest alphabet. He's distinguished professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago, and author of the Concordia Commentaries on Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and Proverbs, and the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on 1 Samuel. Dr. Steinman, welcome back.
Good to be back with you, Todd.
Can you explain in a simple way what it is those who have put this evidence forth are claiming about this particular artifact?
They're claiming to have deciphered well-known, to scholars at least, Egyptian inscriptions that we've known about for a long time, for, 100 years or so. There's a group of these. Others have come to light over the last century. But they were never really deciphered. Back, I think, around 1920, a scholar claimed that they were Hebrew, but he could not actually decipher them and read them. Well, now we have a scholar who has claimed to have deciphered them, figured out that these are supposedly in the early Hebrew alphabet. And it's an interesting find because these findings would place Israel in Egypt at the time when the Bible says they were in Egypt.
So it's not only of linguistic interest, it's of historical interest with respect to the claims made in the Old Testament.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And especially, this is going to be especially controversial because, of course, you have many scholars claiming that Israel was never in Egypt, or if they were in Egypt, they were there at a different time. And the general higher critical approach is that there were maybe a few people down in Egypt that escaped somehow, and this grew into a greater legend about Israel. Well, if this claim that was put forward this week can be sustained, that all those theories and conjectures will be end up on the ash heap of history if again this can be sustained.
So basically we see a piece of stone, and these are not uncommon artifacts, I take it, in Egyptian archaeology, where there are Egyptian hieroglyphs laid out kind of in a column or so, and then next to them there are corresponding letters, not the whole alphabet, but corresponding letters in the Hebrew alphabet. In other words, an attempt to make a one-for-one equivalence between the language common in royal Egypt and Israel.
Yeah, these aren't, archaeologists don't run across these every day, but these are not unknown. And we have known about this for years, both in Egypt, where you have this writing that appears to be alphabetic, and also in the Sinai Peninsula and some of the mines that the Egyptians had in antiquities. So we find these inscriptions around. So the question becomes now, has this scholar figured out that this is a very early form of the Hebrew script, and has he correctly identified the letters and deciphered the messages.
When we come back from this break, how is that going to be decided? And if it is indeed evidence of a more ancient occupation of Egypt by Israel, what are we talking about? When does the Bible claim that Israel actually was in Egypt as slaves, the famous story of their slavery in Egypt? We'll answer all those questions on the other side of the break. Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest, distinguished professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University Chicago, author of the Concordia Commentaries on Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and Proverbs, and the forthcoming commentary on 1 Samuel. You can find out more about these commentaries and purchase them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find links to all of them. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order these commentaries by Dr. Andrew Steinman, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. More on the alleged evidence of Hebrew as the oldest alphabet and of Israel's time in Egypt after this.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to MELHS.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about alleged evidence of Hebrew as the oldest alphabet and evidence of Israel's time in Egypt. Dr. Andrew Steinman is our guest. Dr. Steinman, you've actually literally written the book on the chronology of the Old and New Testament. So located, if you would, when does the Bible indicate that Israel spent its time as a nation there enslaved or on its way to slavery in Egypt?
Well, it places Jacob's entry into Egypt with his family in the 19th century B.C., and it places Israel's exit in the 15th century, in the late 15th century B.C. So we're talking 430 years of time. So there's a pretty big window for these inscriptions we've been talking about.
Do these inscriptions, as far as we can date them, do they correspond to some point inside that chronological window?
Yes, most of them do. Some of them as early as the 19th century. So some of them as early as the time when Israel was only in the land for maybe 40, 50 years. And most of them later than that. So the oldest one we have, I think, is about mid-19th century, which would be maybe 25 to 50 years after Israel entered the land.
Does that just make sense in terms of how these artifacts might have had their origin in terms of coming, the Egyptians and the Israelites kind of becoming permanent neighbors, so to speak?
Well, I guess so. And especially if you figure that Joseph is prominent in the court of Egypt, so you have at least one Israelite, maybe more, that are working with the Egyptian court, and of course they're using hieroglyphs and so forth. So I guess it wouldn't be surprising that Israel might adapt hieroglyphs to use as an alphabetic type of script. You know, this is, again, all subject confirmation, and I'm sure scholars are going to be discussing this for a few years at least, as to whether this really is Hebrew or not, and whether this scholar who claims to have deciphered it actually has done that. But let's assume he has. That all makes sense, and it fits.
Okay. Can you give us any idea of how that determination can be made? It's one thing for a scholar to look at what looks to me like scratches into red sandstone and say, ah, I see what this is. It's an entirely different matter for him to convince other scholars that what he's seeing there is being properly interpreted. How do you objectively determine such things?
Well, there is a lot of subjectivity in this, and you're going to have scholars probably on both sides of a debate about this, and it gets complicated by, of course, scholars' own view, because you know, you can't definitively say, well, I was there and I saw it happen and I know who wrote this. So it's going to be a matter of interpreting, are his interpretations reasonable? And there's going to be, I think, a lot of debate about this back and forth. Now, of course, things get complicated by scholars' own viewpoints. So I happen to know the man who presented this paper. He's a conservative Christian, so right away people are going to say he has an axe to grind. But then on the other side, you have a scholar like Christopher Rolston who says, no, I don't believe this could be Hebrew. Well, he has an axe to grind too, because he doesn't believe Hebrew became a widespread written language until maybe the 8th century, so another millennium. So, you know, you have scholars looking at this, debating it, and some of them have viewpoints that are driven as much by ideology as they are by their actual evidence. And it's just going to take a number of years for scholars to look at this and come to some type of conclusion. And I can imagine that if to lay people, non-specialists, this is going to look awfully messy. But it's just the way scholarship works, because, you know, just because somebody claims to have discovered something doesn't mean their arguments are convincing or, in the long run, even correct. On the other hand, just because other people object to it doesn't mean that it's been disproven. So it's just going to take a while for the Academy to work on this, and hopefully we'll have people on working with goodwill and trying to, you know, look at this as objectively as possible.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is Distinguished Professor of Theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago, author of the Concordia Commentaries on Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, and Proverbs, and the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on 1 Samuel. Dr. Steinman, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
On the other side of the break, Anna Mussman joins us for part two of our conversation with her on living with toddlers. We're going to take up the idea, the difference between management when you're raising your toddlers, teaching them, and discipline, right on the other side of the break. Then we're going to round off today's Issues Etc. with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, part six of our weekly series on liturgical boot camp for evangelicals. We're going to talk about preaching, which both evangelicals and confessional Lutherans have and value, but perhaps for different reasons. And what is called or regarded as good preaching is a very different matter altogether. We'll be right back. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC, RUCEM.com.
defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Are you thankful for the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc.? Please consider making a special Thanksgiving gift. You can make a secure online donation at IssuesETC.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. With 6 weeks left in 2016, we're approximately $120,000 short of expenses. Thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.